Psalm 65. Are you all sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Right, Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God our Saviour. The hope of all the ends of the earth and all of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas and the roaring of their waves and the tumult of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. When morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, for you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing. The Lord add a blessing to his wonderful word. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen.
I gladly bow the knee and worship you alone. I really sincerely.
That statement? I was caught unaware. Because it is a sign of honoring the God who is our Father. So, what we sing is what we need to do. We gladly bow the knee and worship you alone. But before I speak to you, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, humbled as we are, because of what you have done for us. You gave us Jesus Christ, our Lord, to save us. You loved us before we were even born. Father, now we ask you to receive this honor that we are bringing back to you. We are bowing down to worship you. Receive our worship. Receive our singing. Receive our prayers, because you are a God of love. Teach us how to love one another, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit come and inspire each and everyone who is here this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. But before I preach, I thought I need to let you hear this poem. I didn't write it. Someone wrote it.
Good morning. I didn't write the poem. The poem's by Anne Bonson, and it's called Keep Smiling Through. Don't let life's worries get you down. Wear a smile, not a frown. Just keep on smiling and you'll find your troubles will be left behind. Each of us has our cross to bear, and sometimes life just seems so unfair. But when we stop to look around, there's so much beauty to be found. When winter winds blow loud and shrill, and frost is on the windowsill, do not despair, but never fear, remember spring will soon be here. And very soon your garden will be full of dancing daffodils. When you lose someone dear to you, you feel there's nothing left for you. You long to have them back again, but could you bear to see their pain? Instead, remember, amidst the tears, those happy days, those happy years. But if you store them in your heart, you'll never feel so far apart. For all the things that make us sad, there's so much gladness to be had. Just look ahead and you will find the gift of a contented mind.
Thank you. That's a beautiful poem, isn't it? That poem has prompted me to have this theme for my sermon. You will see it on the screen shortly. Count your blessings. Amen? Amen. That's my theme this morning. The theme of this, the poem has prompted me to say and bring this theme, because most of the time people take things for granted. If it doesn't rain, they start complaining. Even those who don't believe in God start cursing God. If it rains and if too much rains, they complain again. If it's too much frost and it's cold, my wife starts complaining. Surely, God can be confused by the end of the day. He gives you rain, or it's too much rain, you start complaining. Snow, you start complaining. But He is a gracious God. So what should we do? Count your blessings. Yes? In this poem, Anne has touched some raw nerves when she said, just keep on smiling and you'll find your troubles will be left behind. Just imagine if you've lost your loved ones. Anne says, keep on smiling. Doesn't also the Bible say, rejoice in all situations? So Anne is not wrong. But now, coming to the Psalm of David. David could have gone through a lot of turmoil. You remember the story that he was being chased by Saul? And at one time, David went to where Saul was camped with his soldiers, because the whole idea was to hunt David down and kill him. And David went where Saul and his entourage was sleeping, and he go and picked Saul swore a spear, and from a distance he shouted. So all these experiences maybe prompted David to write all these things. If you look at that psalm, it starts by praising God. Disregarding the situations that you are in, the most important thing is bless God. Praise Him, whether you are suffering. As I was researching on this a particular passage, I saw what scholars were saying. Scholars were saying this text could have been written in times of hardships. They say this text could have been written in the time of harvest. They say this text could have been written for the Hebrew festivals, like Festival Unleavened Bread or Tabernacles. Another thread is that this text could have been written in times of drought. I think in this country we don't know much about drought. But the only scenario that I remember about drought is when I was reading about the history of Northern Ireland. There is a story that there was a drought and potatoes were scorched by the heat and people were starving. That's the only scenario that I can remember about this country. But most of the time it's always raining. Where I come from, I know what drought is. Animals die, even people do die. Don't mention about crops. By the time animals die, crops will be gone by then anyway, even grass. Anyway, in my sermon today, reading in this text, there are three topics that I picked. One of them is pardon. The second one is power. The third one is provision. In verses 1 and 2, David addresses God. In that address, he's already praying to God. Why is he praying? Because he sees the pardon that God has brought for you and me. He is the creator of heaven, but he humbles himself because he loved us. He gave us his son to die for us. He gave us Jesus. You know, human beings are a difficult lot to please. I mentioned to you earlier on about the rains, the snow, and all the stuff. It runs in the family. You remember the Israelites. They were always on God's case. They were not even appreciating what God was doing. At one time, he opened the sea for them to go through. The next time, he opened the River Jordan for them to go through. The next time, he rained bread and manna from heaven. Still, they were complaining. He gave them a leader to lead them throughout the desert. Still, they were complaining. But God doesn't give up. He says, I know you, Lord. Before you were even created, I knew you in your mother's womb. I'll still carry on with you. I will give you Jesus because he's what you want. God is good. Listen to this. If you want a good degree, you go to a good university. You agree with me? If you want good results, you send your children to a good school. Yes? I remember in my native country, the elite send their children to private school. And guess what? I was also counted as one of the elite. I was not an elite person, but I admired what they were doing in elite schools. So I sent all my children to elite school. Why? Because I wanted them to get the best education. On Friday, we went to Southam Baptist Church. So as we were having, we're sitting around the table having our supper. I was speaking to a lady. She said, well, where are you from? Your accent is not a local accent. I said, well, I'm from Zimbabwe. Oh, when did you come into this country? I said, well, I came in 2001 and my wife came in year 2000. So how did your children settle in the education system? Because, you know, coming from Africa and coming to England, the syllabuses are different. So I said, well, they settled very well because originally they were in a private school. So settling in here was so easy. Yes? Why I'm saying this? Because if we needed education, God was going to give us an educator. Yes? If we needed money, God was going to give us an economist to help us. Okay? If we needed to survive on the seas, God was going to give us the best swimmers. But God didn't do that. He knew the best thing you need is Jesus. Amen? So that's why he gave us Jesus. That's the pardon I was talking about. He already knew that we need someone so that we can get to God. Now it's free. We can pick. If you don't know the telephone number of God, ask me after the service. I'll give it to you. Anytime you pick up your phone and call him, he will answer you. That's the pardon that God has given us. But sometimes we find people in the world, they always complain when things go wrong. You know why? Because they have missed what God wants them to do. If you go to Matthew 6 verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. All these things shall be. Someone finish it for me. Hallelujah. That is my God, what he says. This is why we always have problems. Seek ye first his kingdom and all these other things will be added unto you. This is my God. The reason why we find ourselves in troubles most of the time, we lose what God has said. We need to follow that. Once we start following that, we will get it right. Yes. Jesus also said in the book of John, you will do greater things than these. Surely, with that statement, I don't need a scientist before me. I don't need an economist before me. I don't need the best swimmer before me. I only need Jesus. Am I right? Do we all need Jesus? How come you're not smiling? There is no other man who can beat Jesus. He is the best man who can take all your problems away. Hence, David wrote this psalm to show that we need pardon. We need power. We need provision. That is God's grace. No one prompted God to say, well, I'm going to pardon these people. But it's because he is a God of grace. He pardoned us because of our shortcomings. So, as we get on, we have a privilege to rejoice in this God who loves us. In this psalm, we find the truth is captured in what also James says and expresses. He says, come near to God and he will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. I'm not saying you, it's what's in the Bible. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's James 4 verse 8. Come closer to God and he'll be closer to you. If you are closer to God, do you really need think you'll have problems? No. It also says, do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? So if you have got the Holy Spirit living in you, why then can't you understand the pardon that God has given to us? But let me explain this a little bit. What does it mean to be double-minded? Recently, I was watching the news, and I heard that in Libya, ISIS, they actually rounded about 22 Christians and they took them to the beach and they beheaded them. And another time, someone said to me, if someone was to walk into the church whilst you are preaching and says, all right, who are those who belong to Jesus? Lift up your hands. Seeing someone holding an AK rifle there. How many of us are going to lift up their hands? Because that guy standing by the door will say, anyone who lift up their hands saying he belongs to Jesus, I'll shoot them. How many of us are going to lift up their hands?
He'll get rebuked straight away, I'll tell you that from me.
Amen. So these are the people we want. If you lift up your hand, you are not double-minded. But there are some of us who are cowards who will say, no, speak to the minister. He's the one who has been telling us about Jesus. Yes. Some will point to me. That is being double-minded. If you have got one mind, the mind of Christ, you will say, I will die for Christ. Dying is gaining because it's the beginning of a new life. So I was saddened to see those boys, to hear about them. I didn't see the picture. Being beheaded, but they were beheaded for what they believed in. This is what we need to do. There is joy in the house of the Lord. People, David wrote about people rejoicing at Mount Zion in Jerusalem, at God's temple. This is what we are here for. We need to rejoice in God's temple. That's where we belong. The people loved Mount Zion. The people loved the temple at Jerusalem. No wonder Paul says, the reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. So we are on a test to see how we stand. Some of you have already failed the test that I gave you. If someone walks into here with an AK rifle, say, anyone belong to Jesus? Some of you didn't lift up their hands. Paul says you are on a test. So unfortunately you have failed the test. Right now, we move on to the next item, which is power. Recently, Jenny and I, we went to Southend, and we are attending Eastern Baptist Conference. They say there is a problem in churches today. Instead of people coming to church to worship the Lord, there's a struggle in the church. There were three C's mentioned: consumerism, complacency, and conflict. Right, on power, I just want to bring back to you. You remember in the history of Britain and America, very recently, they went to Iraq. Yeah? It's still fresh in your minds. They bombed here and there. There was war. They went to Afghanistan and they fought. And they, right? That was good. Those were God's provisions to take away the dictator. But what was plan B? No, Plan A has been already achieved. God has provided to remove the dictators. But where is the plan B? There's chaos now, isn't it? There's chaos in Iraq. There's chaos in Afghanistan. There's chaos everywhere. There's chaos in Libya. You know what? There's chaos in church as well. Because the church is not ours. Church belongs to God. God is in the world for a mission. He has given us the power to join his mission. But we abuse that power. We remove the dictators and we become dictators ourselves. Why am I saying so? God is saying, come and join me in my mission. All you need to do is to come and join. Not to come and dictate what to do. The Lord is saying, I am there already. Come and join me is my mission. But church, where are we? Are we in God's mission or there is a lot of complacence in us? I've received Jesus Christ, so the next thing, I sit and relax. No, you don't need to relax. This is the time to work in the mission field because you are part of God's plan. He didn't give us this power so that we are consumed by consumerism. Not the consumerism that we know in the world. There is consumerism in the church. It's all about me. This mission is not about you or about you. It's about him whose son died at that cross. So when you come in there, listen to what he says. He is leading. I think some were thinking maybe it's consumerism about what's happening in the world. No, it's consumerism of what's happening in the church. We are being consumed by selfless, self-centeredness in God's mission. We need to follow what God wants us to do. Doesn't he say in John chapter 1? To all those who received him, he gave them power to become children of God. Who of you doesn't want that power? I want it. If I'm a son of God, I can speak anything and it will happen. Jesus said so. He said, ask for anything in my name. You know why your prayer is not answered sometimes? You are double-minded. When you ask, the other mind says, is this really going to happen? But Jesus said, if you speak for anything in my name, it will be done. If you ask this mountain to move, it will be moved. But when you ask for the mountain to move, you'll be like, don't doubt when you're asking him. He will give it to you. So if you are doubting, you are being consumed by consumerism. Because it's about what you are saying. Right? Instead of what the Lord can do. Looking at God's creation, we also find out that he provides even for those who don't even like him. When God sent the rains, he doesn't choose. Either these rains are for the Christians, these rains are for non-believers. No, he just gives us equally. Amen? And even knowledge, he has given us equally. And one other thing also, time in the world is given equally. Whether you're a sinner or a believer, God gives you time equally. At the start of the rain season, the farmers do understand how to start the rain pattern. When it starts raining, they start plowing, start planting. Right? So what I'm saying to you is that time is given to you equally, so it depends how you plan as well. God gives equal opportunities to sinners and believers so that you can actually all get the good harvest. Because you are following what God has provided. As we continue, there is also a principle in God's power. God says he uses other people to bless other people. So you've got God's power. You can bless other people because God has blessed you. Proverbs 11 verse 25 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Those are God's provisions. God's power that he has given you. Use it wisely. Yesterday we went to a gathering in Northland Park, Ben Mills. There is a group of worshippers. They've been given a church to worship in. I think the deacons remember very well in one of our deliberations, we had a church that was asking to use our church for baptism. That church, now they've got their own church. Those who know Basildon history very well, you have heard about the Margaret Sisters. There is a building in Ben Mills that they were using for prayers and all that stuff. But now they're saying they are now old. They can no longer work for the Lord. But they want that building to be used for the purpose of God. So one of the speakers who stood up, he said, "You have been blessed by this building. So you also, you need to bless other people." In other words, the speaker was saying, don't cling on this building that we've got a building of ours now. No, it's not theirs. It is for the community. He was actually saying, it's a small building for a small church. So he was saying, don't expand it. When you see your church growing, move on. And leave that building for a small church also who are coming behind you. Because it was given to them on a platter. So they must also give it on a platter to other people. I'm only emphasizing these proverbs. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Amen. We go now to our next and final item. But before I go there, I just want to remind you, do you know that this environment, or the earth as it is, God created it? After creating it, he said, it is so beautiful. Right? But you know who damages it? It's us. We don't seem to bother about the next man. All right? It's all about me. We go back to consumerism again. It's all about me. But God is saying, I've made everything for you and make it easier. I've given you Jesus. If you listen to all what he says, all will be well. We go to provision now, where we have our last word. I mentioned to you about drought. When you have experienced drought, you really need God. All those people who are doubting God, when you have gone through drought, you will love God. You will need him. Because when God provides rain, you saw the ground, the flowers, and grass starts coming out. But if there is no rain, the ground is scorched and it cracks. It's dry. There is bones of dead animals littered if there is drought. This is exactly the same with the life of someone without Jesus. You are like drought. You dry. There is scattered dead bones, dry bones in your life. Because you need Jesus. This is God's provision. Without Jesus, you are like ground which hasn't had rains for years. So you need Jesus. God is the provider of all the things that we have. But what do we do? Do we count our blessings for what God has done to us? Or we take things for granted? Do you know that chorus? Count your blessings one by one. Count your blessings. This is what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And this is what the Lord has done. Love it, but I struggle to sing it. Because sometimes I think God doesn't give you all the talents, but he provides. You see, that's why he brought Mike and Rose here, so that if I'm struggling with my singing, they can pick it up. But anyway, as I'm speaking right now, there are a lot of people down there who don't know how to count their blessings. Just stop and say, God, I am content with what I have. Thank you. You know, in the civil society that we live, If you borrow some money from someone and you don't pay back, it becomes a civil case. So what about you who doesn't know how to say to God, thank you, I'm counting my blessings? You've got a civil case before you. Say thank you to God. Count your blessings that God, what God has done. Be contented with what you have. And say thank you. Most of the time, it's easy to forget about the blessings, but to see the shortcomings around you. Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, correct me. We always don't see the good things that we have. There are some people who don't have a roof above their head. There are some people who don't have a food to eat. There are some people who don't have clothing. There are some people who have got no relatives. He's the only person remaining in this world. And imagine if he doesn't come to church. He lives an isolated life. Now, the Lord Jesus is saying this to us. If only you believe and ask for anything that you want in my name, it will be done. If God is a God of provision, if God is a God of power, if God is a God of pardon, I'll pray to him and say, thank you, God, for my blessings. Because God has given this to you. He has given you pardon. He has given you provision. He has given you power. Why can't you stop and say, God, thank you for these things that you have given to me. David has written all about it here. That Psalm 65 that he wrote, he started by praising God for what he has done. They had gone through drought. A rain was provided and food was provided. He stopped and he started by praising God. What are you starting with in your life today? Are you praising God for giving you Jesus? Or you take it as it is? Life is normal. It is not normal. God himself, when he created the world, what was the last thing he created? Come again? Right? When he created man, what did he say? It is good. Yeah, I know he created a woman or man, whatever. But when he had finished creating, and you were the last person to think to be created, right? And what did he start with?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now he ends with man, who is made in his own image. And he starts, man, I have created you. He started man by resting. Because he was the last thing to be created, isn't it? So he starts on a Sunday. We start by resting. We don't work on a Sunday, do we? Yeah, well, you are disobeying God. Sorry. But all I'm trying to say is, after creating all other things, he lasted with man. And to start with, man started by resting. And the week begins on Monday, isn't it? He's a gracious God. So the same pattern that God has used, we must count our blessings. He has given us pardon. He has given us power. He has given us provisions. What more do you want? Stop being greedy. Stop and count. Father, I want to thank you for all the things that you have given me. Father, I want to thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. That's your first stop, call of duty. Before you look what's around you, stop and count your blessings. In this psalm, David starts by saying to God, thank you. I'm also encouraging you today to stop and think about the blessings that God has given you. Count them, name them one by one, and say, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. He is a God of grace. He is a God of love. Again, if we believe and ask in Jesus' name, it will be done. No wonder Charles H. Gabriel wrote this hymn, I Stand Amazed in Jesus the Nazarene. He had seen it. And I also want to see you to see that picture. With Jesus, everything is possible. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord and Heavenly Father, you are a gracious God. Father, thank you. Through David today, you have taught us that we should count our blessings and give you praise. Father, this is what we are going to do as from today. We want to give you praise. We should stop complaining. We should only acknowledge what is around us, what you have done. Without any other thing, Lord, if we don't have jobs, if we don't have houses, but we've got Jesus. Father, this is a precious gift that you gave us. Jesus is the provider of all things. He has said it in the book of Matthew, ask for anything in my name if you believe in me, it will be done. So what more, Father, do we want? We only want Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. Thank you, Father. We pray and ask for all these things in his name. Amen. We will stand up together and sing our closing hymn. I stand.